This is Alex. I'm from Boston.
Hello, this is Jackie, and I'm from Houston.
Hey, this is Rahul from Stanford.
And we are the Premier Chefs.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Premier Chels, your source for all things Premier League, but starting with Chelsea first. Coming to you on your speakers and headsets, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm one of your very happy hosts today, Jackie, and I'm here with my equally happy co-host, Rahul. And that's because we've won in the EFL Cup, which, Rahul, I think you predicted it almost spot on, my friend, almost spot on. But Rahul, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I thought you were going to say we're joint and happy because it's the second time in a week we get to speak in a very long time. I feel like we've been doing a weekly episode.
Yep. We've come back to a little more cadence, and maybe it's because we're winning back-to-back. We've come back to the cadence. I don't know. We have the positivity and the excitement.
Or just because we have midweek games that we otherwise haven't had.
Don't try to yuck someone's yum. I'm trying to enjoy this win, and you're trying to bring the fact that we're not in Champions League. Listen, don't worry about that right now. We're here. We're going through the Mickey Mouse Cup. We're doing all right. We made it to the semifinals. And I want to focus on that prediction you had, Rahul. 1-1, 4-3 on pens. Ultimately, I think we win 4-2, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
That's right.
What a good prediction. What did you have in your gut that you thought we were going to win this one on pens? Because for 91 minutes there, it was not going into penalties, my friend. 91 minutes.
Yeah, Trippier probably wanted my prediction to come true as well, so he helped us out a little bit at the end. But no, it just felt like one of those games where it wouldn't be high scoring, it would end up in penalties. And just knowing that we were home, knowing what we've done in the last few years in this competition in a penalty shootout, I just felt like we could get it done, and ultimately we did. So hopefully that continues going into the next couple of games and we make it to the final.
I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it does sound like we've set ourselves up for a good chance to make it to the final. We've been drawn against Middlesbrough in the next round. We'll talk about some of the other results that happen after we review this game. But Rahul, why don't you run us through the starting 11, which we were pretty close in the prediction as well. And I guess it's down to injuries and whatnot. But why don't you take us through the starting 11?
Yeah, I mean, I think we had predicted Enzo coming back in. We thought Gusto would come back in, but that's not what ended up happening. So George in goal, Di Sassi, Thiago Silva, Badiashile, Colwell as a back four. We really are struggling for fullbacks or wingbacks, whatever you want to call them. Caicedo, Gallagher in midfield, Palmer, Enzo, like I said, came back, Raheem Sterling, and Jackson up top.
Yeah, and I know we were surprised to not see Gusto, but I think he's starting to trust Di Sassi a little bit more and have him play then. We all know Colwell has almost nailed down that left-back spot in recent times, so good to see that overall. And you called it, my friend. You said that with Newcastle maybe being a little more organized, a little more aggressive than Sheffield, we would want to pack the midfield. And obviously Enzo comes back in. Are you surprised that we didn't see Mudryk? I think you called that as well, but it seemed to make sense on the overall feel for the team.
No, I wasn't surprised. I did feel that we would try to be a little more compact and tighter in midfield. And with the pace that Mudryk brings and the ability to run at you, it just felt like him coming off the bench against a maybe tired Newcastle team would have been the right move. Just even not thinking about the goal he scores, even just for him to create something or drag players out of position and open it up for others, it just felt like that would be the move. And that's how Pochettino saw it too.
Absolutely. And I think this game starts off well, Rahul, and we were excited. Obviously, we built up to this and talked about it is not the most glamorous cup out there. And obviously in past, you and I have made fun of it being a Mickey Mouse Cup. And it still is one of the smaller cups in England. However, we keep repeating it's one of those things when you are a new manager and trying to do something, you want to go on a good run in some of these competitions and just build the confidence to showing that you can win something. And I think while I hoped we started well and we did start well, at some point, I think it was the 15th or 16th minute, Callum Wilson gets a goal. And I want to say it's a good goal, but it's not as good a goal as it is a calamity of mistakes from Chelsea, because this goal starts from us taking a corner all the way to Callum Wilson scoring. But I think we just talked about it before we started recording. Why don't you break down some of the key players and maybe the errors you saw as we went through this goal that we've conceded?
I don't even know where to start. There was multiple errors. I mean, do we blame Caicedo? Do we not blame Caicedo? He doesn't get to it. Do we blame Colwell, who maybe puts a it a little too far for Caicedo? Do we blame Thiago Silva, who doesn't maybe come down and try to win the ball? He lets Callum Wilson run onto him. Or do we ultimately blame Badiashile, who maybe tries to be a little too fancy and try to play it out of danger instead of just saying, you know what, I'm just going to kick it for a throwing to the side and we will deal with it from there. And you're looking at it and you're saying Callum Wilson against 3, 4, and maybe our goalkeeper 5 players, there's no way he's going to get through and score, but that's exactly what he does. And we invite these situations, we invite this kind of panic and pressure onto us where we now have to go another 65, 75 minutes of just chasing the game. And maybe even our game plan goes out the window a little bit because we want to stay compact. We want to stay a little tight. Now we can't because we're chasing a goal. So I don't know how you get rid of these little mistakes, but it's mainly just thinking about what's at danger here. Am I going to concede? Am I going to get a corner? What's worse, right? A corner is better than conceding a goal. So I think those are the kind of things that the players need to think about. Of course, it's split seconds. It's very quick and happening all too fast. You and I watching at home can say, well, just put it out. But we know, having played a little bit ourselves, that it does, you know, you do make decisions very quickly and they go for you sometimes and sometimes they don't.
And, you know, other than Thiago Silva, Rahul, it's the age-old question. Levi Colwill, I think, 21-22. Caicedo, 21-22. Badiashile, 21-22. Some of these split-second decisions where you can say, I'm in a threatening position. Let's talk about Colwill. Don't pass it back with only 3 defenders left off of a counter. Caicedo, slight tackle and get that ball out of there. Maybe that's a situation. We talked about Thiago Silva. We'll skip him for now. But Badiashile, boot that ball out into the stands and give us a chance to come back. Do you think this is just going to come with time? And time is one thing, right? Talking about the team gelling together, but is it going to come with time, as in each of these guys now has more experience under the belt? And unfortunately, you have to go through some of these mistakes to learn the experiences that you need to make these decisions, maybe in those split seconds where it actually makes a difference.
Yeah, I mean, look, experience is everything that comes as you make these mistakes and you learn from them. But I'm looking and I'm like, yes, we kept a clean sheet against Sheffield, but before that, it was a long, long time ago that we did that. So it's about learning and how you apply that in the games moving forward. So we win this game, you kind of look back and you say, well, it happened, we'll move on. But in a different game, it could have ended 1-0 and we're out of the cup, we're out of the competition that we're about to say it's easier to get through and maybe go on to win. So hindsight 2020, and in this case, it works out for us. But I think Pochettino himself will be a little disappointed with some of the goals that we've been conceding, not just in this game, but over the last 6 weeks or so.
Listen, I love these post-match reviews where we say, hey, we won the game ultimately, and so it's not a big deal. But for those of you listening, Rahul is texting me throughout this entire game saying, there's no way we come back. We've made this mistake. The game is over. We've lost. And I'm sitting here going doom and gloom. Yeah, this team is not looking right. And I'll read some of the stats for you for a second, Rahul. 15 shots to Newcastle's 4 shots. Obviously not a lot on target. We only had 4 on target to their 2. 78% of the ball. And Rahul, as I'm watching this game, I think I shared this with you. I don't know what we do with this ball sometimes. It's very, very predictable. And I was sitting there watching, my wife is hovering over my shoulder and she goes, oh, okay, it's with Thiago Silva. And she disappears for 20 minutes and comes back and it's still with Thiago Silva, because there was a 20-minute spell where I think the ball just went in a loop from Silva to Gusto, from Gusto to Conor Gallagher, from Gallagher out to left back, from left back back to Badiashile. Badiashile doesn't have an option and it goes back to Thiago Silva. And she's come back and she goes, has any progress been made? And while we are trying, the true answer is no progress has been made. Newcastle were very tight and compact and we struggled. We have struggled against team with their low blocks and they put 8-9 guys behind the ball and they counter. And then on the counter, we start to have that lack of experience and maybe panic and we concede the goal. And so there's a lot of worry there, is that sure, you win the game and it patches over the cracks and we go, yeah, we're into the semifinals and that's great. But I'm going to ask you a very important question, and I know it's a tough one, but do you think we deserved to win this game? I get it. We had 78% of the ball. We outclassed them on passes, maybe 4 times the amount of passes and obviously a lot more shots, but are we just not clinical enough? Do we deserve to win the game based on that?
Not just based on the stats, but look, I didn't watch the full game. I know I was texting you, but that was based on the updates I was seeing on an app. So based off of that, plus the stats, plus what you and I have spoken about offline, I do think we deserve to win it. We did create more. We were the team that was trying to make things happen. Newcastle, if you look at it, scored that one goal and then just kind of relied on, we'll counter, we'll get a set piece. And they were happy to take that 1-0. And to be fair, they were very close to doing that. So we deserved it. But I can only say that now because we won the game. Exactly. If we had lost it and you asked me, did we deserve to win, I'd be like, well, Newcastle did the job on us, so no. Yeah. And that's where I think it's a question again for Pochettino and the coaches and the squad is, what is the game plan? Sure, we can keep the ball 60, 70%, but if you're not doing anything with it, we can have the ball all day long and be happy with it. But the ultimate result is the ultimate thing that matters is the result and how many goals we score. And I think that will take some time, Jackie. We maybe were a little spoiled in preseason where we saw things happen a lot faster and a lot more direct. It's in a season. We're still evolving. Pochettino's still trying to find his best 11 with the injuries, with suspensions. And so I think it will get better, but we are still going to have two games up, one game down, two games down, one game up, and we just have to be ready for it. But this cup competition gives us an opportunity to continue building something positive. And we'll see where we end up, but it's looking like we're three games away from a trophy. That's not what I would have thought coming into the season.
Yeah, and I think that's where we've summarized perfectly between last episode and this, is that while we know the trophy doesn't have a lot of bearing, not just financially, but also maybe with the prestige that comes with this trophy, and I'm trying to be very respectful to it, it does have some importance on what it means for these group of players and what it means for this manager specifically.
If we win it, Jackie, I am celebrating it harder than I celebrated the Champions League wins.
you heard it here first. He's going to celebrate the EFL Cup win for Mauricio Pochettino harder than the Champions League. That means I'm not going to hear from you for 3 or 4 days because you're going to be throwing a mega party just to celebrate.
Well, we'll hopefully be watching it together, so we both won't be on the podcast for a few weeks.
Listen, my friend, I would love nothing more than to celebrate that kind of win with you. That would be absolutely incredible. But Rahul, we're struggling in this game, and I mean struggling not necessarily in terms of shots or holding possession, but trying to get a win in. Pochettino makes a whole bunch of changes. You talked about Mudrik. He comes on. Nkunku comes on as well, which we've been dying to see Nkunku because maybe he's one of those that can unlock a low block. Broya comes on as well. At one point, we were playing with two strikers, Malagusto and Ian Matson. And I talk about all of these guys because I want to talk about maybe an important moment in the game for me, and that's with Ian Matson gets a heavy kick from Bruno Guimarães. And I know we were not in this situation by ourselves as, oh, it's just us doing something. There were situations where Chelsea also does some aggressive tackles towards Newcastle, and I get it. But in this case, what I want to point out is Mudrik coming to the defense of Matson. And I found it quite pleasing to see a situation like that. Mudrik is one that's been on the fringes, and Matson has been one that has been even further onto the fringes. And so they found that camaraderie together where he comes in, steps in, protects him. He's almost at Guimarães' neck. And you say, this is what I want to see. These guys are playing for each other and excited to be together and protect each other. And I liked it even more because, like I repeat, Matson is more on the sidelines than Mudrik, but he doesn't matter. They're all Chelsea boys together going for the same thing. And he steps up to protect his mates. And I think while it is a hot-headed move and it can get us a red card, it's those little moments of passion that we've been looking for to show that this team is together.
I think it's great that you brought this up because it shows the togetherness. It shows that Mudrik, who's otherwise maybe we've said shy or timid or quiet, and he does more of his talking through his skills or on Instagram. In this case, we see him stand up for his teammate and stand up for a bad tackle. And the less I say about Guimarães, the better. So I do agree with you. I think that was a good moment because you see Nkunku come in, you see Thiago Silva come in, Broya. The one person I didn't see, Jackie, was the captain, Conor Gallagher. And maybe off camera, he's dealing with Matson, but even when the camera turns towards Matson, you can just see Gallagher standing over him. He's not really like doing anything towards him. So that's where I'm like, Conor, I know you have that passion in you. Just jump in there too, because why is Mudrik the only one or initially the only one doing this? So you want to touch on the positive? Maybe I brought up a negative there. And again, I don't know what Connor was doing, but Yeah, I mean, look, for togetherness, that was good. And Bruno Guimarães maybe should have been sent off, but maybe Caicedo should have too. So I can't be too nasty there.
Fair enough. And my only defense for Conor Rahul is you and I have sat on this very podcast and criticized him for going 120% every time and getting a red card when he shouldn't. So maybe he's learning from some of these
That's
situations.
Fair.
And, yeah. So maybe he's learning from some of these
situations. He was on a yellow, I guess. So you're right.
He's trying to control his passion there. So, no, good moment overall. And I think we want to see more of this where the team stands up for each other and kind of works through it. But Rahul, I want to talk about just a couple more things that I observed in the game before we talk about the goal, which ultimately what I build up here to will explain why the goal is so important. In this back and forth passing, last season, Reece James put in many crosses, Gustav a little bit put in many crosses, Ben Chilwell put in many crosses, whoever was playing left back, it could have been Cucurella putting in crosses, and we had nobody. We had absolutely nobody in the box, and you and I would scream and say, why are they crossing the ball? There's no one in the box. Kai Havertz would come with his lanky figure and try to maybe get a goal here or there, but it was not consistent enough. In this game, I saw at different stages, you had Gallagher running in late to try and get in there. You had Jackson, you had Broya, you had Nkunku, you had Fernandez, you had Raheem Sterling on the wing, and even at some point, Mudrik. And I go, there are four or five guys each time making a run into this box. We just need to put a cross in and somebody will cause some havoc where the ball can be tapped in or a header or whatever the situation may be. It doesn't happen. And it's so, so frustrating to watch because I'm saying this are the little things they need to watch and pay attention to. Ultimately, Rahul, the goal comes in the form of a cross in the 92nd minute where it goes to the back post. And unfortunately, Kieran Trippier, who's been maybe one of Newcastle's best players this season, ends up there, tries to cushion a header back to his goalkeeper, but it lands a little bit short from the goalkeeper, and Mudrik turns on the Blazers. He is moving full speed ahead, and he's able to tap that one into the net, and you just go, what a fantastic finish from this guy, how he's alive. But it builds up to what I was saying. Maybe if they put these crosses in 5, 6, 7, 10 minutes earlier, we wouldn't be going to the 92nd minute scared and worried about how we're going to win this game. We've actually got this opportunity now to bury the game at this point in time. What are your thoughts on that and the goal overall?
Desperation will make you do funny things, and crossing it in for Nkunku is definitely a funny thing, but out of that comes an opportunity, and I know you've said Trippier has been their best player, and I don't disagree with you, but he has made a few mistakes in the last few weeks, and the fact that he didn't start maybe tells you that he was being rested, given not just a physical break but also a mental break. But you're there as a on the bench, you're one of the leading players, if not the leading player for the club, and so you come on and you try to see it through, but you make this kind of a mistake, and you have to give credit to Mudrik. I think, yeah, you can point to the mistake and say a mistake is what led Chelsea to come back into the game, and yes, it is, but you have to see how quickly Mudrik reacts to it. I mean, in the past, we've said, why don't our players react faster? There are loose balls in the box, and we're never winning second balls and all of that. Mudrik does that in this case, and not does it just to win it, but to win it and score it, which was the most important thing. And for someone that's been in and out, has had his moments, has had a difficult time, this is something that's going to boost his confidence because he's going to say, look, I came on and I changed the game, and I can continue to do that if you give me the opportunities, boss. So, a bad moment for Newcastle, but one that I think we thoroughly deserved, and credit goes to Mudrik and to Chelsea for keeping that pressure on 91st, 92nd minute. You can easily say, we've tried everything today. It's not going to work out. But you just have to keep going till the end.
Yeah, and he's one, Rahul, that you can see slowly that he's growing in confidence. We've seen the situation in the past where Mudrik maybe might sky that one or blast it as hard as he can and it goes over the net. Or to your point, he's asleep and he's not paying attention to the fact that there's an opportunity here. And so I like the fact that he took the chance, but I like the fact that he took it so composed and he was able to slot it into the net, almost bouncing it off the ground and over the goalkeeper, which was great. And I think, like you said, if he can just build on these things, it's just going to be exciting to have the likes of him on the wing competing with Raheem Sterling, Cole Palmer on the other side competing with, if Madueke gets back into the fold or not, I don't know. But you then have four or five good players that can play out wide and can really compete with each other. And yes, we're not in the Champions League, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but if we're in Europe, you can now have guys that can rotate with each other. And I feel confident, Rahul. How many times would we say last year, if there was an injury, who do you turn to on the bench that can come and make a change? If you've got three or four of these really good guys that are playing on the wing, you can say, if Sterling's in, I feel confident. If he's not Mudrik's in, I feel confident. If he's not Palmer's in, I feel confident. So I want to have this quality. And it takes me back a little bit of a throwback to 04, when I think we had three or four really good wingers in Damien Duff, Arjen Robben, Joe Cole, I'm sure Sean Wright Phillips, and you could say, okay, I've got enough guys here that I believe in, and no matter what happens, somebody good is going to come off it and maybe win a game for me, at least get a goal or two to help get us back into the game. So very exciting, but ends 1-1, it goes straight to penalties. Were you predicted it, but were you excited for the penalties, or were you like, okay, now it's crunch time and these guys need to step up to the plate?
I mean, I was excited, but I was also a little bit nervous because I know Palmer can do it. But then I was like, Nkunku, yes, but I haven't seen it. So I wasn't really sure who was going to be stepping up. Enzo wasn't on the pitch, and we do need to talk about him and him going off. So I guess I was nervously excited about the penalty kicks. And it just felt like with the way the game ended, we just seemed to have the upper hand with the confidence.
Yep.
Because Newcastle, like I said, have played 91, 92 minutes thinking they were going through, and suddenly in the space of 20 seconds it all changes and they now have to get themselves back up to say let's get these kicks right. So I was nervously excited, and Palmer started us off really well. That boy says he doesn't even practice kicks, so I would just continue, just go off of your instinct, because you don't need the practice, my friend.
Yeah, we'll run through the penalties really quickly, but before that, you wanted to talk about Enzo coming off. I thought he had a decent game overall, but I think he was nursing an illness or an injury. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but Rahul, I've always believed that if the player is not 100% ready, maybe you don't start them or you don't bring them into the game. But do you think he was rushed back, or is it just one of those where it could have been an illness that wasn't a big deal, but as he starts to play, it's catching up with him? I just want to get your thoughts on that before we run into the penalty game.
Yeah, I think that is what it is. Maybe he did feel better coming out of the weekend, but look, you're playing a top level game here that you require 100%, and he just didn't have it. The little more concerning piece for me was is him in tears and showing a little bit of emotion at the end. Not sure what exactly that is, because if you're sick, that's, you know, that it's one thing, but is there something else going on or something that we're not aware of? Is what I'm wondering, and hopefully not, and it's just, it is an illness and he gets over it. But we wish him well with the illness and whatever else he's got on his mind.
Yeah, especially how light we are in midfield. We definitely need him to be fit. And if he's crying out of joy, fantastic. I'm happy to see that. But if he's crying out of pain, or because he wasn't there to score a penalty or whatever, I hope he can get back to not just his physical fitness, but his mental fitness, so he's ready for us so we can continue the new year in style. So. I want to run through the penalties. You already said Palmer opened up for us, slots it neatly away, and you're super proud of him. Wilson steps up for Newcastle, and he slots in, and it's 1-1, and you're starting to worry. Conor Gallagher, Rahul, I want to talk about him for a second. We said a few seconds ago that he probably was not stepping up to protect his team or whatever, but we talked about the yellow card, and maybe that's the reason. He steps up, buries that one, and before we get deeper into the penalties, a lot of Chelsea fans, Rahul, who have not been pro Conor Gallagher, are slowly and surely turning to pro Conor Gallagher and saying, this man is the Chelsea man, he needs to stay. And Rahul, what a way to turn your critics just by your performances. I think there's no better way to turn your critics to your fans other than showing them you are the guy and you can play football for them.
You just have to do it on the pitch. And unfortunately for him, the Chelsea fans that are maybe not too big on him or in favor of him are just waiting for that next opportunity to say, well, look, he didn't do it this time.
Right.
But he, you know, you'll get a 6 to 7 out of him every single game, maybe not with games that he gets sent off. but he's consistent. We've spoken about this, Jackie. He brings everything that you want as a fan to the team. And if he goes and plays against us for someone else, I can guarantee you there's going to be a good group of fans saying, why did we let him go? We should have kept him. We lost that intensity and all of that. So, and apart from that, that penalty was when he stepped up and I'm like, I don't know what is going to happen here, but it was beautifully taken, put right up in the top corner. And he can actually, you can see he's, he like takes this deep breath and I'm like, oh boy, like something's not going to be right here. But he was confident. He put his foot right through it. and a really good hit.
A really, really good hit. And next up for Newcastle, Rahul, is Trippier. And I want to commend Trippier for a minute because he's just come on later on in the game. He's made the mistake and you almost wonder, like, is his head is in the right place or what's going on? He steps up, hits it, and he hits it wide. And you can see the weight of the world is on his shoulders. And it's one of those situations where initially, Rahul, when he joined Newcastle, I was like, oh, here's another mercenary coming to collect his big paycheck from Newcastle. But one way or the other, you can see he truly cares about being there and truly cares about winning and wants to help this team. And so I felt for him, not for more than a split second, because I want Chelsea to win, but I did feel for him for just a quick second there. And next comes on is Nkunku. Rahul buries it 3-1. How are you feeling at this point, my friend? Are you excited or do you think Newcastle can come back?
I was getting excited. I was getting excited for Chelsea, but also for my prediction, because we got the 1-1 right, and I was like 4-3, and I should maybe go play the lotto tonight. No, look, when Nkunku steps up after Trippier has just missed, I'm feeling confident. I'm like, you know what? I think if we get this third one here, we're really in the driver's seat, and not to jinx it, because we've been in the driver's seat before in penalty shootouts and not won. But the pressure is now on Newcastle, and as you go down the list, you're like, they don't seem to have the players that maybe have been in these positions before. So
fair enough. Yeah.
No, I was excited. The third one went in, and honestly, all our penalties were very well taken.
And the villain steps up next for Newcastle, or for Chelsea, I guess. It's Bruno Guimarães. He buries it. Rahul, he does a little celebration when he's plugging his fingers in his ears. Doesn't want to hear the chatter and the noise around Stamford Bridge, but ultimately, Mudryk steps up. He puts a beautiful penalty in the corner. Almost what we talked about in the 92nd minute. You can see him growing in confidence, and this penalty is full of confidence. No fear, puts it away. And at this point, if they miss or it's saved, the game is over. And you text me saying, my boy George has got this. And I scratch my head a little bit, but who's George? And I know we'll just call him George. And that's Petrovic. Matt Ritchie steps up, tries to put it into the corner, but Petrovic is flying across the goal. And he's got a good frame on him, Raul, a big, big, strong boy. And he puts that ball out and we're moving on to the next round, my friend. What did you make of that overall?
I just backed my boy George, you know. no, look, and back him because I didn't know the stat at the time, but it seems like in the 45 games or so he played for New England, he saved about 6 penalties. And someone might say, well, that's not a great record. But for a goalkeeper, you don't face penalties all the time. So when you do, you have the opportunity to save him and keep your team in the game. And he went the right way for Trippier. He went the right way for this Matt Ritchie one, which he ended up saving. So we've had issues in the past with goalkeepers that can save penalties, and maybe I'm going back a few years. But if he can do the job as a full-time goalie and then also in a shootout, I think we might have a winner.
We really might, and it'll be exciting because we've struggled with goalkeepers in the last year or so. Kepa with confidence, obviously. Mendy started great and then lost his confidence. He's moved on. Sanchez has been up and down as well. So, again, a lot of hopes on this young man's shoulders, and I don't want to get too excited, but we've been looking for a good goalkeeper for a while that can be in the Chelsea lineup for the next 5, 6, 7 years and really be part of the spine that we're looking for. But, Rahul, we win the game. It's exciting.
And just to add, Jackie, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but while Richie's about to step up, you see Petrovic throw his arm the other way to kind of maybe make it seem like, hey, I'm going to go that way. But he goes the right way anyway. And it's those little mind games. We've seen it with Emi Martinez for Villa, for Argentina. It's those little mind games that were like, can get you an edge in a shootout. And then turns out Cole Palmer also is from the other end telling him to go the way he did. So points back to the togetherness, but also a goalie that's just confident in his abilities to say, you know what, I'll try to throw you off, Matt Ritchie, and save this.
And this is what we said in the last episode, the episode before, is that it's unfortunate Sanchez has picked up an injury, Rahul, but I'm hopeful that Petrovic can get a run in there. And now you're looking at two decent goalkeepers that are challenging each other till the end of the season. And who knows, Petrovic may say, look, I'm here. I came in as an unknown character from New England. I'm still very young, but I'm going to push for the number one spot. And how nice that would be to have a young guy that comes in and says, I'm going to make this my own and show you the confidence that I bring in, week out for Chelsea. But we win ultimately, Rahul, and we're going to be facing Middlesbrough in the next round. It's going to be two legs in the semifinal, which
is... I almost got my Port Vale prediction. Well, not almost, close.
You've opened up because you wanted to face Port Vale in the next round, or at least in the final, Rahul. Let's talk about some of the other games in and around the EFL. Port Vale played Middlesbrough, and ultimately, I don't think you're very close, my friend, on this prediction. Port Vale lose 3-0 at home to Middlesbrough, so Middlesbrough making light work of them there. You wanted Port Vale. What happened, my friend?
You know, there's only that many things I can get right, so I'd rather get the Chelsea stuff right.
Fair enough. The team you wanted to avoid, Rahul, Liverpool versus West Ham. Liverpool thumped West Ham 5-1. Easy meal. They're moving on to the semifinals, and they will be playing Fulham, who also had a 1-1 draw with Everton and scraped through 7-6 on penalties. So what are your thoughts on those two games? And maybe I'll get a prediction from you of who's going to make it out of those two games to the final.
I mean, look, it's good semifinals. Two good games coming up against Middlesbrough. Michael Carrick is there, so you know he's going to make it difficult, and Chelsea themselves are going to make it difficult for themselves. but it's another opportunity for us to get to a final. It's another opportunity to win a trophy. We're closer now than we've been in the last 18 months or so. And for Pochettino, I mean, he's taking this competition seriously, and he's been rewarded for it with the results going our way. And it would be a great way, again, I'm jumping ahead, but it would be a great way for him to buy some time as a Chelsea manager and maybe even get the players to continue believing in this project and this process to say, you know what, he is the right guy for now, and he is the guy that can lead us. So three more games, a lot of football to be played, Fulham or Liverpool in the final if we get past Middlesbrough. So as good as this could be, this could also be a little... negative if we don't get through, or if we make it to a final and we lose, because then you go into, well, he's still got the Spurs genes in him and all of that. So he's got to navigate it through well, and hopefully we come out of it in a final, and then we'll just have to, a final's a one-off game, you take it from there if it's Liverpool or Fulham, but we have to focus on Middlesbrough first.
And just getting the results and getting the business done. But that's going to be an exciting two-legged fixture.
Jackie, I have a question for you.
Yep.
If he does win this trophy with us, has he already outdone his Tottenham work?
You know, I don't want to discredit it, because I think he made it to a Champions League final with Tottenham. And you have to understand that they had a very limited budget and they had a very difficult ownership as well. They had made it to a couple finals as well. But I think the challenge here, Rahul, is a challenge like none before, right? You've got a brand new team that's been assembled in less than 18 months with players that are all mostly under the age of 25. There is a lot of pressure riding on this, because the owners say we wouldn't fire managers, and yet they fired two or three managers already in the last year. They've brought in Pochettino with a lot of hope on his shoulders. And he is one that's been good at building young teams and putting them together. The long and the short of it is, I don't want to discredit what he's done at Tottenham, but I do think that winning a trophy here will surpass his time at Tottenham. I think it is a fantastic challenge. It is obviously a lot more financial backing, a lot more players to tinker with and do the business with. But that in itself has presented so many challenges as we have seen in the last 18 months. So yes, it will be a super thing for him. And Rahul will just get over the negativity that surrounded the I've never won a trophy. So he's put that to bed as well, and he can move forward from there.
And I would be very happy to rub it in the Tottenham fans' faces to to show what Pochettino has done in 6 months. But again, we're getting ahead. Let's take it one by one. But it's a good position to be in, at least in your first season. A trophy would be even better.
Let's leave it at that and take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. And we will be right back to talk all things Super League.
Hey guys, the Premier Chels is sponsored by Kickoff Coffee. They are a top quality artisanal roasted coffee. In other words, they're Champions League winner and Premier League winner every single time. They deliver fresh bags directly to your home, so you don't have to go to a coffee shop and pick up something. And the best part about them is every bag gives back to soccer charities. 10% of the proceeds go to organizations that use soccer to promote youth social development in the underserved areas. Use our code TPCoffee15 to get 15% off your order. You can order at kickoffcoffeeco.com or check out the links on our social media. Thanks.
All right, we've covered the highs of winning a quarterfinal, Rahul, and now we've come to the lows of the Super League. And it, I guess it depends who you are and what you believe in the footballing world. But the Super League is back. I think that the news that I've heard is that a court has ruled that UEFA, the Premier League, the La Liga, all of the big leagues cannot control what's going on in and around football. And I think Madrid and Barcelona are heading this one and trying to form or rebuild the Super League. The news that I've captured as of this morning is many of the giants that were initially involved in this decision, that's the likes of Chelsea, Manchester United, Man City, you go into Germany, Bayern Munich, and some of the others have said they are not interested and will not endorse the Super League. So I'm not sure how this kicks off or where it goes from here, Rahul, but I would love to get some of your knowledge and some of your feedback on this particular topic.
Yeah, so I mean, we spoke about this in 2021, Jackie, when this happened. It was April 2021. Overnight is about 12 teams or clubs that said we're going to be forming a Super League and joining it. And this is going to be a league for the elite. Quickly, within maybe 48 to 72 hours, all of these, apart from, like you said, Juventus, Madrid, and Barcelona, backed out. Because of fan pressure, pressure around the world from UEFA, FIFA, saying you can't do that, you can't break away. And actually what FIFA and UEFA did back then was put in rules or say we're going to institute rules and bring them into existence that if any players go and play in the Super League, you won't be able to represent your national team, you won't be able to represent any of their teams on an international basis. And so what happened from there was the Super League group, it's called, I believe it's called AA Management or A2 Management, basically just sued FIFA and UEFA to say you can't prevent these players from doing that. And so this has been going on for the last few months and years. And finally, a few days ago, the European Court of Justice ruled that what FIFA and UEFA were trying to do by blocking a potential Super League by having these rules in place was unlawful. And so immediately once that news broke, which essentially says that if players do end up playing in the league like this, they can still play for their countries. What it immediately did was bring up these talks of, well, is the Super League back on? And what does that look like? And actually the Super League themselves came out and said, so what we were proposing about 2 years ago or 18 months ago, we've actually revised that and we'll now have three tiers of this league where you can move up and down promotion, relegation. We'll invite others within this format. And like you said, United came out and said no. Chelsea have said no, we're not going to be pursuing this. But Madrid and Barcelona continue to pursue this and are at the forefront of this. So it's not to say that it's happening, but it's clearly an indication from the courts in Europe that if something like this does happen, there won't be any repercussions for the players and there might be for the clubs because the Premier League is bringing in an independent regulator that can prevent a club from moving out and joining a separate league or even thinking about it. But look, if the money is there, and from what I'm hearing, if Madrid and Barcelona are able to gather a group together and get this started, they just themselves get about 800 million each right out the gate. So what would that mean for others? We'll wait to find out. But it does point towards a change in the way things are going to be done in European football. And Saudi Arabia can come into it and back it financially, and that just adds more financial power there. So a lot still to be determined. But in very simple terms, and to kind of sum it all up, the European Super League is and could be back on in the next few years.
And you've highlighted some key points there, Raul. We've already seen some changes with the Champions League moving to a new format in the next few years as well, more of a tabular format, which I'm not sure how that will look, nor do I think I agree with it. I'm of the opinion what's not broke doesn't need to be fixed. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. We've already got news this week that there's going to be a new World Club Cup format as well that's going to be hosted in the USA, I think. So you obviously see that there's a trickle-down effect of the Super League and the traditional powers that be are trying to change what they have to maybe incentivize it or make it more exciting for people. Again, I've been of this opinion that football has been good. I've been against VAR for a while because it's been so difficult to make an easy adaptation to what we're used to seeing. And so more change isn't necessarily good. So if the Super League comes in and they're pushing these things, it'll really be down to financially what the Premier League and some of these other leagues can do to motivate people to stay. Ultimately, I know some of these big teams have a lot more pull than they should. And so I'm interested to see how this will play out in the next weeks, months, or even years to come.
Yeah, and it's really, it's something that's being formed in response to the success and the financial gains that the Premier League clubs have experienced over the last decade or so. And other clubs, specifically Italian and Spanish clubs, are looking at it and saying, well, we're not getting the TV revenue that, And I don't mean this as disrespectful, maybe a Villa or Brighton are getting, and they're further down technically in the table, even though they might be ahead of us at this point. And so they're saying, well, if we can't compete with them the way things are, we'll just break away and do our own thing where our name, our reputation, our players will bring the fans and bring the revenue that we want. But what they're failing to realize is, I'll just give you an example of Girona in La Liga this season, Jackie. Our first place, and you think about it against a Madrid, against a Barcelona, who do still have the resources. Girona, who are owned by the City Group, so that doesn't mean they don't have the resources, but not at the same level, are still leading the pack and are able to say, we may not win this, but we're going to be in this talk of maybe even Champions League at the end of the season, where they couldn't have thought of it. So if you kind of break away and take away from all of that, it puts some of these clubs like a Girona, even a Villa in this case, in our league, that the competition isn't there and they're kind of just always trying to match up and keep up with the Super League. So I really hope that it doesn't happen. I really hope that they find a way to accommodate or make it a little more incentivized for other teams to qualify for the Champions League. But I do expect something to change over the next few years.
Yeah, you lose out on the magic that could have been that Leicester City winning season right. that they went on, which is something you
or
may
or Chelsea
not
winning a Carabao Cup, which would be a magic story in itself.
There he goes again, bringing us down to reality. But let's leave it at that, Rahul, for the Super League. I think that's going to be a topic that keeps developing over the next few months and years, as we've talked about. This weekend, however, on Sunday at 7 a.m. for me, that's Central Time. For Eastern Time, it is 8 a.m. Chelsea are going away to the Molineux. We are going to be playing Wolves. And Rahul, I think you've got some insights for us on the Wolves side. I don't think we've been particularly happy to play Wolves in the last couple of years, have we?
We haven't. And in fact, we've never been happy to play anyone in the last year. So, but specifically for Wolves, a Christmas Eve game, Jackie, 8 you said 7 a.m. for you, 8 a.m. for me, but just thinking about the traveling fans, that's quite a long journey to make the day before Christmas. So not trying to get political or even go down that path, but I really do wish the Premier League had considered the scheduling for this game. But either way, coming back to our results. So the last time we won away to Wolves was under Lampard, and I don't mean Lampard 2023. I mean, Lampard 2019, when he was bringing a group of young boys from the academy through. And we ended up going away September 2019 and winning 5-2. And if you remember, the one thing that stands out for me is that Tomori goal from way out. Yep. He gets it in and we get the goals and we win that game. But since then, we've played Wolves a handful of times and won twice. And away from home, we've lost 2-1 in 2020. We've lost 1-0 in 2023. So it's not a ground that has been favorable to us recently. And so I am a little worried that it is going to ruin my Christmas Eve, but I will try to keep positive, at least till the prediction time.
Listen, we are sitting 10th on the table and Wolves are sitting in 13th in the table. They're not too far behind from us, Rahul. And I made this joke a few episodes ago is the difference between 10th and I think 14th is just a couple of points. So the onus is on us to keep winning and trying to climb this table and get out from being dragged into a relegation battle. I remember how difficult it was last year to be in the 14th, 15th place and struggle to make sure we were the mighty Chelsea that has been is not going to get relegated. So I, for one, am hoping for a positive result. And hopefully it's time for things to change. 4 years is a long time to go to Wolves. And Rahul, they have been good this season. Wolves have been steady. They've been difficult to break down. They've not necessarily had the best season, meaning in terms of where they are on the table, but that's us too. We're not super high on the table. So it's a middle of the table clash, I should say, for the Premier League, which can be very, very exciting. Why don't we do a predicted 11? Because we did pretty well on the last one.
Yeah, I think Petrovic in goal, De Sassi, although I'd like to see Gusto. I do think De Sassi continues. Thiago Silva, Badiashile, and Cole as that back four. I'm not sure if Enzo plays this game, and maybe that's why he was in tears, because he might be out for the next couple of games. So Caicedo, Gallagher in midfield, Cole Palmer, Raheem Sterling, and Mudryk in behind Nicholas Jackson.
You don't think Nkunku is going to get his first start in the Premier League?
I don't think so. He did come off the bench. I think he still will continue to come off the bench for the next few weeks until he builds that fitness and sharpness up.
Okay, so a good starting 11, I think. It's a starting 11 that we have to go with given the injuries and the type of players that we have in personnel. So some tricky fast players behind the striker and Jackson, who had a couple of opportunities in the EFL Cup but couldn't bury them. Maybe his time will turn against Wolves. What is your score prediction, Rahul?
So I said this earlier in the episode, Jackie. Two games up, one game down. So beat Sheffield United. We beat Newcastle at home. I do expect we're going to struggle away from home, and I do think we will drop points here and go down 2-1.
Here he goes with the pessimism again, guys, and he's predicting a loss for us, which I don't think we can stomach. I just talked about how we need to keep climbing this table, Rahul, and get out of this relegation dogfight that we could be dragged into.
I think our listeners are probably sensing a theme here, which is you keep saying, well, let's climb up this table, and Chelsea go, nope, we don't want to climb. We will actually want to keep going down and then fighting back to come back to 10th, which is what I'm picking up here. So look, I'm happy to climb this table, but I just feel like Wolves have been a tough crown for us, but they've also been a tough place this season. City have lost there. Spurs have lost there. And we haven't traveled well, at least in the last month or so. So I just don't think we can do it, but I'll wait for the players to prove me wrong.
Listen, Rahul, you and I have been doing this podcast a long time now, and if you're a long-time listener, you'll know when we win, coming on and doing the next episode is super easy. We're very excited. We're happy. When we lose, it takes a lot of energy out of us to come on here and talk about the team we love so much lose. So I have to be positive, my friend. I need to go on this positivity run so that I can build myself up to show up for the next episode and just continue in this vein. So in that fashion, I'm going to go for a 3-1 win to Chelsea. I think that we are due a couple of goals where we can get there. And unfortunately, I would love to keep a clean sheet, but we've been shaky at the back with silly little mistakes. So I'm okay conceding one for now, as long as we can get that win. So 3-1 to Chelsea.
All right. Well, somewhere in between my prediction and your prediction is what is going to happen. and hopefully it is at least a draw for us, because we want to continue building this momentum. But a win would be great. A great Christmas present for you, me, and all the Chelsea fans. But Jackie, before we wrap it up, I do want to ask you about Pochettino's press conference, and specifically a point where he's talking about players, their groups around them, their people around them, basically entitled to playing and not proving it. What did you make of that? And who do you think he may be referring to?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And I think I personally sit on the middle, right, Rahul? I think that we've needed a manager to call out some of the quote unquote dead weight, which is players that come here and make a lot of money and think that they can skirt through and just do what they need to do. But I think it's also at a tipping point in the season where you have to be very careful when and where and who to say these words to, because you don't want to derail some of the progress that's been made. That being said, I can only think of maybe one player that Pochettino has not fancied this season. It's Nani Madueke, and I hinted to him maybe being one of those wingers that could be helping the team. He's pacey, he's tricky, but maybe he's just the guy, Rahul, that Pochettino is using as an example and saying, if you're not going to give 110% every week in training, I'm going to make you a scapegoat. I'm not sure if that's exactly the storyline or how it's playing out, but he might be the one that might come to mind.
Yeah, I did also think of him because he did have a good end to last season. And even Lampard spoke about it in one of the podcasts he's done since leaving. And he maybe was injured during preseason. And since he's come back, we've not really seen much of Madueke. And I have been wondering why, and I think we've been given the answer as to you can be entitled to a position in the starting 11. You have to earn it, and you earn it on the training pitch. You earn it by doing the right things, and it doesn't help if the people around you are talking and calling out the manager. So, Nani, I know you're a young guy. I know you've got a brilliant career ahead of you. Hopefully that's in the Chelsea shirt, because we would like you to stay. So let's cut the drama. Let's cut all the whining. Get down to work, because we know you've got the talent. So that's my message to him.
Yeah, and I think it's a message, like I said earlier, that he may be trying to spread across the board, Rahul, to everybody else. Like we've spoken about so much, is a lot of the team is young. And while I don't specifically know if or what Madueke has done, if for whatever reason Pochettino perceives him as maybe a bad egg, you know how quickly that can spread through a team. And so maybe he's trying to crack it down very quickly. Maybe it's not even Madueke. Maybe it's across the board. He's sending a message to his guys to be humble, to be ready to play as hard as they can, to be selected and do the best when they are selected, so that they can come in, week out.
Yep, that's all he can ask for. And then it's down to the players. But that wraps it up, guys. Thank you very much for listening. Please continue to subscribe, like, and follow us. It's at the Premier Chels on all podcast providers. On Instagram and Twitter, it's at the Premier Chels Pod. And we will be back, but until then, stay safe, Merry Christmas, and up the Chels. The Premier Chels has partnered with Fubo TV. Fubo TV is your home for live sports and TV without a cable in the US and Canada. You can watch on all your devices, which means you don't have to miss any of the actions or goals that Chelsea score in the Premier League and Champions League.
You heard that right. Fubo TV networks broadcast Premier League, Champions League, and many other leagues and tournaments. So what are you waiting for? Start your free trial today at FuboTV.com/TPC.